Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You're listening to America's Diesel Podcast.
Damn, Corey. Why are you being a dick? I'm fucking with my mental right now.
I'm tired, okay? I went to bed late last night, like 9:30.
It's been like 11:30.
I was up playing Nintendo.
How do you like the Switch?
It's the bomb.
It's pretty
good. I haven't hooked it up to a TV yet.
Yeah. What are you playing on it?
Just like a little
Yeah. Thing. But it's cool because it comes with a little controller that you can plug the little in things in, so it plays like a regular controller, and then you just set the...
Is it like Mario, or what do you got?
Zelda. Oh. New Zelda.
I'll tell you what, get a pro controller.
Yeah?
Yeah. Way better.
I'm cheap.
Way more
though,
comfortable.
Corey. I'm cheap.
It's like $60, dude.
That's fucking $60.
And you guys are like, making fun of me for the hardback book.
That's two meals at a restaurant.
A game's $60.
Yeah, that's why I've only bought one.
You need to borrow something, Jesse.
I was like $500 out the door when I bought everything, and I was like, this is fucked.
Look, I usually do like... When it comes to like video games and shit, like my mental psych is like, if I get $1 per hour I play it,
yeah,
then I feel like I got my money's worth.
That makes sense. The whole reason I wanted that new Zelda is because it takes like 300 hours to complete it. And I'm like, cool, yeah. I can play this game forever.
My wife's been playing it since launch and still hasn't beaten it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, and I don't play a whole, like, I've played more this week than I've played in the last month.
Yeah.
And because I kind of got, I go through cycles with that kind of stuff, and it's been a lot of fun.
Do you need to borrow a game, Jesse, or what?
I might borrow a game. We'll see.
You want the new Metroid or?
No. I'm really picky.
Minecraft.
I fucking keep that shit away from me. I will play Minecraft for fucking days.
How do I mute Jesse? Hold on.
Don't talk shit about Minecraft.
You said you'll play it for days?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. We're friends.
No, I said I will play that shit because my little brother got into it. And my little brother's 14 years younger than me.
I'm going to tell you then.
So he would play it, and he wanted to play video games. So, will we play video games with me? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't play this weird. And I was like,
oh, shit. This is cool. Like,
there's a... there's
wanna
a...
go?
right? At the MAC, the Museum of Arts and Culture.
Yeah. That's right. There's like Minecraft like exhibit.
Yeah, I'm going Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nerd convention.
Yeah.
It goes till December, so you got plenty of time.
I was thinking about, because I was thinking about hauling my little brother down to go to that.
Oh yeah, that'd be rad.
I got something way funner.
No, you don't. Shut up.
We should like figure
strip
out
club. Any strip club.
We should link up on going to the Minecraft thing, because I still don't know very much at all.
So that it'll be me and you and a kid, and they'll think we're gay.
It'll be all of us though. It'll be you and me. We'll be the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'll make some jokes.
You want to make it a throuple?
No, they don't look like we abducted a kid. Yeah.
It's Mr. Slave. Jesus Christ. So yeah, what's more fun, Tyler?
I was gonna say helping me move out of my house.
All right, so back to Minecraft.
That's kind of like Minecraft. You're stacking boxes very square.
I don't need any help. But.
Yeah, I'm waiting until my son gets a little bit better at Minecraft, and then I will. And I'm thinking it'll probably be this winter sometime. I'll bust out my old school Nintendo, and I'll
that's the funnest
introduce
game.
Him to Tetris.
Well, I just like the regular old like Mario.
Mm-hmm.
With the original
the square controller. Yep.
No, not well the what is it? Nintendo. I don't know.
Super
which
Nintendo.
The
one, probably.
The Super Nintendo. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm older than you.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. Mine is the
you have the original
the put in and click down.
Yeah, and with the square
little guy. Yeah. I still have my original one that I saved up my allowance for.
Really.
I have a Game Genie for it.
Really.
Nice.
My brother like our Super Nintendo. He kept the Nintendo and the mm-hmm. box and all the games that we had because we had a bunch of different. I think we had like that,
I don't have
even
the box
like that
or anything, but.
Mike Tyson or the fight, the
punch
boxing.
Out.
Yeah.
Punch out.
Yeah. I can't remember. I don't know. It's been so long. Man.
I
was too busy outside like skateboarding and shit. So.
My older brother and I wanted one when I was little, and my older brother's 10 years older than I am. And he has his original Game Boy that he saved mm-hmm. up like mowing lawns and stuff to buy. But my dad was like at a yard sale on his way back home one day and he'd work out of town on construction and he found an original Nintendo and paid like $5 for it or something. Bunch of games and everything. We played that for like 6 months and then we were like, yeah, we need something better than this. And that mm-hmm. that Christmas was the Christmas the N64 came out.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, oh boy, that was a big deal. Man.
Well, I don't know if this is going into the episode, but this is America's Diesel Podcast.
Yeah, this is our intro. Hey, a lot of us play video games too.
This is America's video game podcast. Yeah.
This is America's like dudes podcast.
Yeah.
Do you like engines? Cool. You're qualified to listen to the podcast. There are a lot of other things go on with people that like engines.
Yeah.
I have
everybody's played an arcade game or Nintendo.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's 100%. At this point.
I still have Sega Genesis. And
dude, Sega Saturn, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated.
It was Saturn.
And
that's what I was going to say. Had that too.
That platform got killed off by Dreamcast, and it pisses me off.
Yeah.
The graphics on Sega Saturn were so far ahead of the game.
Well, I'm skipping way ahead. I was the game that I played probably the most, Gran Turismo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that game's that rad.
Like, even back, like, what was it, like, PlayStation
1?
No, 2. I think I had it on. I might have had one and two.
Two had Gran Turismo 3 on it, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Even like me remembering, I thought like the graphics were actually like pretty damn good.
Right.
Yeah.
For like a car game. Like it was mm-hmm. actually decent. Yeah.
And now you play the new Forza and it's right? Like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to get one of the setups with like the actual steering wheel and brake pedals, yeah. Everything.
Some of
the
those guys Sims. Get freaking crazy with
I don't
that
plan
shit.
On going that crazy. Like,
yeah. I'd rather like it's like almost the amount of money they spend on like all that like gaming equipment, you could have bought like a cool car.
You could have bought a
good car.
You
actually drove something.
Yeah. I was going to say, a cheap one of those things is the same price as a spec Miata.
Like, okay, but nobody wants a fucking Miata.
It depends on how far.
You could buy an entire spec Miata race car with like extra tires and wheels and extra parts and go race it every weekend.
Yeah,
and it would be cheaper than a racing sim.
Yeah.
Well, it depends because Logitech has like an entry-level one for like $250.
Yeah, but that's
no one's
lame.
Gonna be, no one's gonna actually be happy with
I
that.
Want a $10,000 one.
Yeah, yeah.
I want one that's half a car in my living room.
Everyone does, but let's be honest, budgets.
Yeah. Go buy a whole car and race the shit out of it.
Have you
IRL.
Seen, well, have you seen the guys that do like the semi truck?
Yeah.
You're just sitting there like just dropping off fake loads. Like, what are you doing with your life?
You gotta go full sim and like pee into a bottle.
I don't understand it. Like, how could you get joy out of like you're what are you doing?
It's like you
realize
are you just you, getting you could ready? Be out making money doing
you,
this.
You could do it. You could do it. There's like a shortage of drivers. Yeah. Go do it.
Okay. For take real. A step back here. Think about this. This is how fucked our society is. Okay. Yeah. We have an industry that's literally short on humans to do it. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but you don't necessarily have to be super educated to like, it's an entry level and you can make good money doing it. It's hard work, but
you can do like one route
and you can
like
learn, that's your route. You can learn on the job. Like,
yeah.
Can you drive? Do you have eyeballs?
Yeah.
Like you're already like 75% of the way there.
Yeah.
You don't even have to speak English all the way.
The semi-truck one is the one that just is like bugs me the most.
Because
it's like, because they have like these elaborate setups, like the whole dash of a fucking Peterbilt.
Shifters in there.
It's like, well, what are you doing?
And so, but then the industry is like, we can't hire people. There's people paying money.
Yeah.
To, and this is going to get even better too. There's people that pay money to put these simulators in their house and actually get really close to doing the same job that takes the same amount of time for fun. They're not even getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
But here's the best part. Some of them stream and get paid to do the fake job, and other people watch them do it.
Yeah, the people watching it is the craziest.
Now imagine, cut out the whole other... And this is why truck drivers need to have cameras in their cabs at all time. Yeah. You want to watch an IRL thing? Like you can literally watch a truck do its entire fucking route.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
you don't have to watch the guy playing the video game.
I can
watch the guy do the real thing.
I can understand. So, like, there's a whole movie on this, which I actually want to see the movie. I think it's called Gran Turismo.
So I
actually want to watch that movie.
Mm, me too.
I can totally understand the guy that like wants to do a simulator for an Indy car or like a Formula One car. Like I totally get that because that kind of shit is kind of like, you got to be one in a million to be able to like be one of those racers.
Yeah.
So like that I understand. But a fucking semi truck.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
I'm just going to say Gran Turismo is a much better idea than The Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Let's not bring that up again, okay?
Anyways.
Corey's dying.
I'm going to get fucking canceled with that one. And I feel like I got baited into that whole conversation.
Got baited into it. We were dicks. Talking about.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the conversation.
Yeah. We're just talking, man.
Well, I remember all of it, and I would like to rehash it.
No, do you know what's fun? No, I will rehash one section of it, because this is ridiculous, because I talked about it after. And y'all made fun of me for watching The Little Mermaid after the podcast. Me and Jesse are standing right there, and he goes, "Hey, dude, did you see the Barbie movie?" I'm like, "Jesse?
No, it did not start like that."
He's like, "Dude, it's actually really, really funny."
Like that. Somebody said something about it, and I was like, because I go watch pretty much every new movie that comes out, and somebody said just something about it, and I was like, it actually wasn't bad.
No, you said it was funny.
It is funny.
You said it was
funny. I think the fact that it made like $800 million proves the fact that it's a decent movie.
I don't care. And Theo Vaughn had the best.
If you're telling me that you wouldn't go for 2 hours
to
watch Margot Robbie just be on
hot.
Screen and
no,
hot
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. There's this thing called Google, and you can just look up a picture.
Yeah, but 2 hours of it, man.
Oh, I gotta. How do I find
there's
it?
Like
how do I search a specific reel?
You don't want to go look at Ryan Gosling for 2 hours? Come on, man.
Dude, it's the Barbie movie, dude.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Will Ferrell's in it.
Yeah. Oh, right here.
I said, no, I haven't seen it. Somebody asked me, they said, hey, buddy, you seen Barbie? And I said, no, I haven't seen it because, well, I'm an adult male and it's Barbie. Look, when I was a child, if a man saw a Barbie movie, then your mom was going to leave that man. And that's how you got a stepdad. Somebody asked me, they said, hey, bud.
So you got a stepdad. So what's funny about that is I started seeing that after you had told me about the Barbie movie.
I was figuring, I was like, this is going to look weird, me being single dude walking in there and watching this. I'm like, I'm going to be odd man out here. There's going to be a bunch of, you know, it's going to be a bunch of chicks and, you know, chicks with their husbands and boyfriends. There was a lot of dudes in there. And I was like, now I feel more weird.
Do I feel?
Groups of dude friends in there to go watch it. And I went and watched the Oppenheimer on opening night because they both opened on like
you had to balance out that.
Well, I went and watched the
Barbenheimer. Barbenheimer,
and I went there opening night, and there's you know every chick that walks into the theater is wearing pink and everything. Everybody's dressing up for it, and I'm like, okay, it's a, and, but there was, I mean, it was packed going in there. And so I saw like a couple of groups of girls. I'm like, yeah, they're going to see Barbie. And they go into Oppenheimer and they're all walking into that movie. I'm like, you guys miss a turn back there or something? Like, you're going to go watch a movie about, like, a really serious movie about dudes in World War II making bombs. And I'm like, maybe they're double featuring it. I don't know. Maybe they, like, they just walked into the wrong door and they're like, yeah, fuck, well, let's just go with it.
This isn't Monsters, Inc.
The Barbie movie.
I think my current favorite thing from Theo Von, and don't worry, we actually have truck topics to talk about.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing from Theo Von, and he's like, well, he's taking a question. He's like, me and my wife, well, we had a threesome, and turns out she kind of likes girls. Yep. And then we had another threesome with a dude. Turns out I kind of like dudes. And Theo Von's like, well, y'all gay, man. Yeah,
yeah.
That's it.
My favorite, like, all of his stuff's good, but the just the classic one where he's like, yeah, you know, my cousin got bit by a gay dude, so we'll see.
My cousin got bit by a gay dude once, and he's like, but you guys are the best. I heard there was someone else talking about Theo Von, and he's like, is Theo Von real? They're like, I can't tell if he's like constantly like doing trashed a skit or if that's like actually him. Like, you can never tell if that he's like building up to something or if he's like actually being. He's in there. I think it was like Brendan Schaub. He was like, no, dude, that's actually him. Like, that's the greatest, that is him.
The greatest thing is the first thing I remember Theo Von being in was that
Real World or
no, it was Howie Mandel, like candid camera show that was on TBS where it's, you know, where they have like there'll be a couple sitting at a table in a restaurant and they'll go grab the husband and say like, oh, can you come back? There's a phone call for you. And they bring him back into a room and like, hey, we're going to prank your wife with you. And every 500, you know, every time we give you something to say, we give you $500 or something until you can't. And he was the host of it. And he was like short hair, clean shaven, just looked like this. And he was like, and I was like, oh, it's kind of this weird square dude they got to do. And then it turns out he's like one of the greatest comics in the world. But it's like, he didn't look like he does now. Like, he looked like this weird little accountant.
He didn't have his long man's haircut.
And he didn't talk. He just sounded like kind of Southern Dan. Yeah. Like the Southern dandy gentleman kind of sound, and was like super happy and everything, just like normal. And then all of a sudden his actual comedy career, like he's just like the greatest comic on the planet.
Last one, he was like, they were talking about, like, I think they had this like black guy on, they were talking about like either like saying the N-word or something or being like racist. He's like, Theo's like, yeah, I'm not, no, he's like, no, yeah, I'm not racist, man. He's like, I might have a couple flare ups in traffic.
Yeah.
Or he's like, what would be like the first thing you would do if you're black? Like, would you say it? And he's like, man, he's like, you know, I might write it down. Sorry. Like, Theo, goddamn, man. Fucking just national treasure. National treasure.
Yeah. My last, he was on Rogan's podcast and they were talking about Thanksgiving and he said Rogan was talking about owls before that, I think. And he goes, he's like, yeah, we had a couple of met Thanksgiving. And everyone goes, wait, what do you mean? He goes, we had some owls at Thanksgiving. He's like, they were around. He goes, no, we're eating them, man. He's like, dude, that's illegal. He's like, well, I didn't have much.
Didn't have the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh God, that guy.
His thing on USPS was out of pocket. Yeah. And I fucking love that. Yeah. You ever think that, and he's like dying, you can't even get it out too. He's like, you ever think that like the US mail, like USPS is basically just like, you just hand your, it's like, it's not even like tracked or anything, just hand it to a black dude and he just kind of gets there.
Just kind of hoping it gets to where it's going.
And he's like trying to get it out. And he can't even because he's laughing so hard. And whoever he's on there with is like, What the fuck, man? Like, yeah. Where did that come from?
Yeah, he is so funny. He is so funny.
Anyways, trucks. Yeah. If we say trucks enough, then the episode trucks, diesel trucks. Jesse Adams, he's thinking about something with a truck. I don't know. Proceed.
Oh, real quick. I'm gonna need, you know.
Yeah,
this is what happens. This is what happens when I get my favorite in.
Yeah. Go ahead. Utah, make it two.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, anyways, I was thinking about getting a truck again because I don't have enough of them.
Well, and you've burned through enough. Okay, hold on. Can I ask you some questions first?
Sure.
New or old?
Varying degrees of old.
Okay. Because I know that you've kind of gone through a couple of older trucks, and every time you get, like, the last one you got. I think you're starting to, in my humble opinion, okay, because we're all getting a little bit older, okay, you're starting to realize, like, you know what, I'm kind of over buying the piles of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would rather save up a little bit longer or start with something that has a bit more of a clean slate, and you have the patience now. You know, same here. Like, actually,
you're full of shit. I don't have any patience.
Did you sell your sand roll yet?
I tried. It's listed.
Damn it.
It's
you're already selling that?
Yeah. Well, I want to go buy other stuff. I'm stupid.
Like a truck.
Yeah.
Didn't you just buy that like a week ago?
Oh, it's been a month now, probably.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
It feels like a week ago.
Before Jesse keeps saying he had some money and he also paid off his bike.
Yeah.
So like it.
Well, let's be fair. I had enough money to pay off my bike and I was like, you shouldn't do that. You should go buy things. So I did. And then I was like, oh, dummy, you did it. You screwed up again.
I had to sell
those
things.
You better sell these things and go pay your bike off. So I did. I bought a 78 F-250. It looked like a really clean truck. It was one of those things where it was like too cheap. I had to jump on it because it was like an hour old listing. And it wasn't a bad truck. It just, I like really original stuff.
Yeah.
And everything on it had been touched. Motor and trans had been out at certain points. Had a used long block installed by a shop after they did some work to it, apparently.
And you dodged a fucking bullet on that one.
Well, I don't know if I did or I didn't because it ran great. I think the dude on the drive home just tried to do like 70 miles an hour for 2 hours on his drive home and blew the 460 up. So because it was low geared, 410 geared, 460. And when I was driving it at 60 miles an hour, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Like, this stuff doesn't like this. You know, it's just old. It's an old truck, man. I mean, it was an old tractor. And even then, this was like the nicest. It was a really nice truck. I mean, factory seat was in good shape. It had factory cruise control that worked. Mm-hmm. AC truck, everything, but it's like every panel had an issue. It was a presentable truck, but it's like at the end of the day, a truck that's rusty or has a big dent in each panel needs the same amount of work as this truck. Like they both need to be stripped all the way down. That, you know, it's still a one of everything truck. And I was like, it's just not my style. I sold it. The guy drives it 2 hours home and it loses a rod bearing. And I'm like, damn, like that truck would have lived forever if it just would have left like and went 15 minutes away and lived on a farm. Like, that's all I was going to do with it. It was just going to go up north and be a farm truck because I had a 1980 GMC two-wheel drive that I loved. I paid like $800 for. That's a really original truck. Mm-hmm. And it just randomly lost the forward clutch pack in the Turbo 400. Mm-hmm. And just like, well, that's dead now. And the truck needs enough stuff that I'm like,
you just don't want to do
it. It's not worth a transmission at a two-wheel drive. I mean, the truck's so original, it still has its 1980, like, 16.5 wheels. Like, steel 16.5s with old tires. You know, it needs a ball joint. It needs a tie rod. Like, everything's a little loose in it. It's a square body, so it's rusty. Like, they just are.
But
like,
for a farm, or for just knocking around.
It functioned. It's comfortable. It's a two-wheel drive Chevy pickup. They drive great. Mm-hmm. They're the square body two-wheel drives are one of the best driving trucks on the planet. And I'm a hardcore Ford guy. Those trucks are comfortable.
Yeah, and you fucking hate Chevys. Yeah. So that's a big thing for
you. Once you slam the door five or six times to get it closed all the way.
That's great.
That's great. You know, it takes 9 hours for the window to roll up, the power windows. So I dodged that bullet. I've had a lot of 90s Fords. Me and Ben, we share a brotherly bond over OBS Ford trucks.
Yes, we do.
Last one was that crew cab that was a 351 Windsor automatic, and that was a total pig. but I want another one because every now and then I have to remind myself how terrible they are. And it's about that time. It's about a year later. I'm like, oh, I kind of like those things again. I need to go get one.
If you want, I could hire someone to just punch you the dick. If you want,
that'd be great. It'd be a lot cheaper.
Yeah. A lot less stress. Yeah. Yeah.
So I have an old farm truck that's a 74 F-350 that, once again, thought it was pretty original until, you know, started getting into it. And I'm like, this isn't what I need sitting around the property. But it's just it's got a flatbed. It's got a little crane boom on the side of it so I can lift all my stuff. It just works. It never leaves the yard unless it's going to the dump. But I would like to get something better. So there is a 77 W350 dually four-wheel drive Dodge.
Oh,
440 four-speed with a 480 Holmes twin boom wrecker body on it. And I'm like, that would be awesome just because all I need is something. And the twin booms, you can fold the booms out to the side. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can change motors and lift stuff. And it has a hydraulic wheel lift that somebody added on the back of it. And I'm like, I can drag cars around the yard easy and all that sort of stuff. But 70s Dodge truck. All the wiring sucks.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Like, I haven't even went and looked at the truck. I know that's what it's going to be. None of the gauges are going to work. Like, and I'm like, well, still, it would fix the yard farm truck problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really want another nickel and dime project. And I do need something that can tow stuff.
Okay.
So a month or so ago, a truck popped up online. And I had all this money sitting around. And I said, I'm going to go buy that. And I didn't. 96 F-350, regular cab long bed, four-wheel drive, 465 speed with 180,000 miles on it, I think.
Okay.
Bunch of recent work, brakes, shocks, like the whole bit underneath. Kind of put a bunch of money into it. Big old camper mirrors on it. Set up to tow a trailer. All it does is tow their camper around. It's $6,500 or best offer. And I saw that, and it's a pretty clean body. I mean, they all have dings and dents. And, it's white with a red interior, which is my absolute most hated color combo on the planet. And I'm like, that's a cool truck. Like, I would buy that, and I would just drive it. And I'm like, straight axle F-350. And at this point,
it's going to ride like shit.
I'd almost rather have a TTB truck, but I'm like, you know, it's just a 90s version of a high boy Ford. It's just, they ride like crap, which I kind of dig, and they're pretty indestructible. And I'm like, well, it doesn't matter. It's going to sell in 2 days. It's still on there. I checked today. I saw that and I'm like,
sounds like $3,500 for best offer.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, maybe $5,000 takes this truck home, but it's 2 hours away. So I'm like, I'm going to have to go ride my motorcycle down and hope they have a ramp or something, or there's a loading dock somewhere I can get my pig heavy motorcycle in the back of it and then drive it home. So we shall see. Payday hits, I might be going and getting 90s Ford for the winter.
It's not going to do the Dodge.
No, I've talked myself out of that one pretty hard.
I was kind of excited for you for that one because I'm thinking 37s, off-road looking wrecker, Dodge.
I did want to do that. And the good thing about it is it popped up for sale the day after I paid my motorcycle off. And I'm like, thank God. I was dumb enough to go buy that.
So I was telling him, for some reason, I do have a slight infatuation with tow truck.
Same.
Trucks, right?
Like a utilitarian, get everything done on the site job truck.
Like just to be able to pick up another vehicle and just move it. I feel like I would do that all the time. Just randomly. there is this, I'm pretty sure it's got to be a 6L, but it's a white standard cab 6L with a tow truck back, but it's super short. It looks like it was a short bed truck. It maybe, I'm assuming it's a 6 liter. I've always just drove past it and kind of never really looked super close at it. I've just seen it and be like, oh, that thing's kind of cool. You know, I could just imagine what it could look like with some cool suspension under it. But it just sits there, dude. It just sits there at this shitty little house off of Freya, by the Safeway warehouse. And I'm like, man, It might be a V10. Such a fucking cool truck. It's probably a V10. But
and it's probably so like with a lot of modern record bodies, the body's cut up like they chop the whole back of the frame off.
Yeah.
So they look super short.
Dude, it's tiny. Yeah. Like it's like so cool. Like everything's paint matched. Like it looked like it was a nice older, you know, it's like maybe like an 05 ish body, you know, like mm-hmm. But a nice older wrecker that someone had, or a tow truck that someone had, that they just, like, I don't know, fucked up their back or something and stopped working. I don't know. But it just sits there. And I'm like, every time I drive by that, I'm like, man, some like fucking 37s under that bitch and some cool suspension, maybe some, you know, some airbags in the back. Like, that thing would be so dope. So dope. Because it's so short. Which I unfortunately is probably going to be a gas engine truck, but it'd be super cool if it was, like, even if it was a 6 liter, like, you'd probably pick it up for super fucking cheap. Yeah.
The thing, all this talk has made me want a flatbed, I'm just saying.
The thing I want the most, there was a truck I used to borrow from this guy back in the day that was an old Les Schwab tire truck. Mm-hmm. And the truck was garbage.
I'm sure they beat the fuck
out
of it.
Oh, yeah. And it's that, like, was it GMT 600 era? Mm-hmm. You know, it was like a 94 Chev. 350. It had like a 12-foot bed on it, mm-hmm. and that small block and a 4-speed manual. And I was like, dude, it doesn't even have overdrive. Like, what this thing? Yeah. It didn't matter. It didn't have overdrive. You could barely get it to fourth gear speed. Like, it sucked.
It's so heavy. Yeah. They don't care. Yeah.
And it had a big underhood compressor that might as well like kill that motor. Like, that's probably why the motor was so worn out. Is it's just like running up the huge twin-cylinder air compressor. But it had a knuckle boom on it. And I tell you what, that's the coolest piece of machinery on the planet. And that's the thing that killed me for this tow truck. It was like $5,000 gets me that tow truck. $5,000 would also just get me a knuckle boom to put on one of my trucks. Mm-hmm. Like I could put on that flatbed Ford I have. They are the most like literally anything you need to do. You need to pick up that air. Like we moved my buddy's air compressor into a shop with it. And it's like, you can lift it and push it over and put it in the corner and you know, any engine, anything you need. It's just like big kid claw game.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
And the only thing that was cool about that truck was the bed was so big you could, and they're so wide on those trucks. I don't know if you ever noticed on those Les Schwab trucks.
Yeah. They're like 8 foot wide, like 12 feet long. Yeah. Yeah. Big fucking bed.
I remember when I was 17, the guy helped me go to a junkyard to get the bed for my first high boy that I built. And we like picked it up and set it in the bed, like a full 8 foot long bed, truck bed fit inside this thing with plenty of room around it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's cool. I mean, I hauled a short box Ford pickup, like roller chassis in the back of the thing. Mm-hmm. Like it was huge. And I just had like, it had a lift gate on the back and I just let the lift gate go out a little bit to catch the front tires. It was rad. The truck was absolutely trash. Like, and I always told them, I'm like, dude. And at the time I had a gorgeous low mile 72 F-350 long wheelbase flatbed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, can we just like pull, like I'll buy the truck from you. I'll buy the boom from you. We can put it like, you know, the truck. He's always talked about, oh, that thing's going to need a motor here pretty soon. And, actually kind of surprised the tweaker that has it now hasn't blown it up. Maybe he has. I haven't seen it around in a while, but I was like, let's just pull that boom off and put it on this truck and like redeck the flatbed. It'll be way more usable with this, you know, without having the sides and everything mm-hmm. on it. Like, and never did. And it was also one of those things that everything on it was so worn out. I was like, is this boom worth swapping onto another truck?
Yeah.
Like
as soon as you unsettle it, just,
yeah. So it's a part of me. I want to just find that, find a good knuckle boom, but it's a lot of the ones you find for sale are for like medium duty trucks. So they're like capable of lifting like 10,000 pounds. I'm like, I don't need that.
Yeah. Too much.
That's too much. I'm going to bend the frame on my truck.
All this talk has me really want to do it now. Put a flatbed on the green truck.
Yeah.
It's a good candidate.
It is a great candidate for a flatbed.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love that. But like a nice, like, 8 or 9 foot flatbed on it, like 6.5-7 feet wide, just wide enough to where it pokes out behind or beside the cab.
Yeah,
but
like not quite a dually bed.
Yeah.
I would think
you could do that, especially
in forties,
and potentially a manual swap, and that thing would be.
And Andrew said yesterday he'd give me an NV 5600 and manual swap my truck. But I'm like, dude, man, that's so much fucking work.
Don't be bitch.
Honestly, let's really think about that for a second, because I bet you I could probably sell the 68 RFE and cover most of the cost to convert that thing over to a manual.
Mm-hmm. While your truck's down for 6 months.
Right. It's not feasible, but like, you know, just if you think about it, like, I mean, that 68 that I have in there is worth some money.
Yeah.
Do it.
Nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. As much as I want to do it, I'm not going to do it.
Do it.
Dude, are you gay? Come on.
No, but if I ended up
making... Come on, man, I'll drive a Cummins, man.
Yeah, got him stick shifting that thing, man.
Six in a row, ready to tow. Yeah. Got myself a manual straight shift.
Straight shift.
Straight shift.
Oh, actually, speaking of, somebody we all know, Mr. Cameron, the camera guy.
Yeah, he's been talking to me about his 2012.
Yeah, what a peach. It's actually not a bad truck. That thing is rad, and it's super low mile.
Is a Canada truck. He was really worried about the transfer over kilometers to miles and whatnot. And he sent me pictures under the hood. And because a lot of times on those trucks, there's a little strap. It's riveted on underneath the EGR, like servo in front of the EGR cooler, that goes to, I think, the EGR cooler. And if like that system's been off before, most people will just fucking cut that strap, because it's a pain in the dick if you're just trying to like replace one part, because it's riveted on.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, just look for that and see if it's still intact. He sent me a picture of it. It still looks intact. I didn't say it to him. And after I like really started looking at the pictures, there's like a couple pieces that look like that might have been replaced. But overall, it's a good truck. It's a good, and he pulled up like the engine hours on it, and I ran out to my truck. I was like, dude, because my truck's real close to 50,000 miles, and that truck had like 47,000 miles on it. And I was like, dude, I will tell you, like, you know how I drive my truck. I'll give you my engine hours, and you can compare it to what yours is, just to see if there's anything funky going on or whatever. And it's all online, so it's a clean truck.
And it's like a champagne gold kind
of. Yeah,
it's real good.
Yeah,
it's a real good one. Yeah, I'm jealous.
Yeah, I was, and I straight up told him, like, you know, you're getting into an early 6.7 Cummins, so I mean, there's obviously issues, turbo issues. It's kind of like the shittier side of the EGR system and DPF system, but. You know what you're getting into. You know, I mean, who knows what Cameron will do to that thing, but
it's a good thing to build off of.
It's a good thing to build off of. And I, like I told him, I was like, to me, it looks like that's like an older guy's truck that he bought to tow a bumper pole with. Mm-hmm. And like, that's all he did, because you can see in the rear bumper, there's a dent by the hitch. Like he backed into a hitch and dented the bumper, but he's like, well, there's no fifth wheel. I was like, but you know, a lot of people get like a bumper pull trailer, and that's what they'll use to tow their trailer with. Cause he's got like the cruise control button was like kind of worn on it.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, dude, it's probably got just a ton of highway miles. And the guy just like used it to tow his camper trailer, his bumper pull camper trailer with. Like, that's what it looks like to me.
That's probably why it's a little mile.
Right. Like, right. And the guy either got too old or whatever, you know, who knows. But I was like, dude, it seems like a decent enough truck, man. Because I was looking at it as he was talking to me on it, because he called me. And but yeah, good little truck.
Yeah. Oh, so the other truck, I don't have enough cash for it right now unless a bunch of stuff sold. You and I looked at this truck together on Marketplace. I don't think it's on Marketplace anymore, but I actually found it at the guy's house. It actually lives out by Cameron. That red and silver crew cab long bed dually two-wheel drive. It's a 90.
Yes.
It's a 97 F-350 crew long dually two-wheel drive with a, it's not a Centurion. It's another coach builder.
It's got some full of the package body kit on it. Yeah.
That's like the Testarossa Ferrari, like side skirts.
Yep.
Like full bumpers, everything. Lund visors, like all the stuff. Two-tone paint, like fancy seats. Like it's got like the roll-along package seats and overhead console. It's
overstuffed, comfy cloth seats with like the extra support and everything.
I will say I like those a lot.
Side bolsters and everything.
It had a 5-speed in it, and it had like 230,000 miles.
It was a 5-speed gasser, wasn't it?
No, it was a power stroke.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But that was the reason I didn't go buy it, is because I was like, man, I'm not Ben. I can't just like buy this thing and then have to learn all this like early power stroke stuff. I know. I should.
It's not much to really learn, though.
It really it's
like, and the thing, some basic you already have enough knowledge. Like, going into a power stroke for you would be super freaking easy.
And I have worked on them before, but I just like, I was like, man, is this going to be the thing where I buy it not knowing what it is? Like, I was going to have you go look with me, but it was $13,000, and I like looked at the ads a bunch, and then I randomly saw it riding out to Cameron's house on my motorcycle. So I backtracked and went and found it. And it's like all the clear coats peeling on it and everything. And I'm like, man, like it's just never going to clean up that nice. I'm like, this is a $7,500 truck. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody else wants this gaudy looking red finned weird fiberglass body kitted thing except for me and like three other dudes. And I'm like,
and Ben.
Yeah. And, Ben. And I was like, I probably just shouldn't do it. And then I didn't stop seeing it on Marketplace. I'm like, man, good. I'm glad somebody bought it. Last time I went to Cameron, like last week, I look out down the hill and it's still sitting in the same spot. And I'm like, shit.
So I have a TTB.
Oh, yeah. That'd be rad.
TTB that and keep it low.
Yeah.
Okay. Live my dream.
I would go the opposite way, though. I would just slam it.
Yeah. Well, but then make it, put a TTB on there.
No.
Keep it four-wheel drive.
Not everything needs to be four-wheel drive. No.
That's a year-round truck. No. The paint's already peeling. Fuck
it's
it.
It's a year-round right now if you've got the
balls. If you've got a body kit on that thing, that'd be a perfect candidate for a slam truck.
Keep it low. Yeah. But as far as like getting into that, and this is actually maybe a good topic to for any of you guys maybe looking at a 7.3 and maybe you're kind of looking to get into it. If it runs and drives right now, I can tell you with like a pretty good gauge of certainty, and it has less than 200,000 miles on it, the worst you're going to get into is there's probably some oil leaks. So you're going to need some Tyler.
What? Brake clean?
And?
What?
O-rings.
O-rings.
Oh.
You're going to need some O-rings, which I have all. And it's probably going to, in the near future, it's probably going to need a high-pressure oil pump. The EDV is going to leak. You can replace that. The O-pipe's going to leak.
You're going to spend $5,000 and it's still going to have 86 horsepower.
The glow plugs may or like it could not, whatever.
I've never seen a used power stroke that couldn't be helped by some glow plugs.
Yeah. Both of my power strokes currently, I haven't touched the glow plugs and they both start in the cold.
What?
Yep.
Lucky.
Good batteries, good cables.
You
good
use alternator. A starting fluid every time. But.
Like case from Napa. Yeah.
He's got a little port inside the cab where he sprays it into.
A little motion lotion.
Yeah. Hey, man, if it works, it works. Okay. All right. But it's for real, though. Like, it's if you were to get into something like that, there is nothing barring the engine actually being fucked and something. Okay. So there's always the like 7.3 eats a lifter. Okay. That does happen. It is fairly few and far between. And honestly, a lot of it tends to happen when you start really pushing it or it has a ton of miles and it's just been pushed and unkept. You get that thing, we put some Schaefer's in it, you start treating it right with a few additive good filters, it's going to run. It's going to do a good job. And we can put a high-pressure oil pump in there, put a tune, intake. If you're going to tow with it, we'll throw an intercooler on it. Honestly, if you're daily driving it, you don't have to have an intercooler. And just let her eat. Do a turbo rebuild on it. If it's a manual, probably put a little bit tighter exhaust housing on it if you're going to be doing a turbo rebuild. That thing would be great. That thing will just be a fucking fantastic rental. We'll probably get 20 easily on the highway. Two-wheel drive low like that with an aero kit? Fuck yeah, dude. Put a nice stereo in it, tint it.
Oh, yeah.
Corporate cruiser this shit. Just detail the fuck out of the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, put nice stereo. Put some new door speakers in it like that. Put a nice, you know, 12 in the back underneath the seat. And just... Oh, yeah. That thing would be nice.
Yeah, I agree. You're going to loan me $10,000.
No, but I will help you work on it. Live vicariously through you. And we'll go ride low and slow places.
Yeah.
I'll bring my jacked up green truck and you'll bring your low one. And we'll be like Ebony and Ivory. We're just rolling into places like, hey, if you don't like me, you'll like him. It's fine. Yeah. Friends.
If you don't like this truck or that truck, I guess you don't like chicks either, man. Yeah.
Gay bars around the corner, dipshit. Yeah.
We know because we just left there.
Car's $12. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. Not a lot of guys in there right now, just to let you know. Yeah. Just we left.
They have a drink called a power stroke.
Okay.
What would a Power Stroke be? What would a Power Stroke drink be?
Gotta be something with some Baileys in it.
From a shoe?
Yeah.
Baileys from a shoe?
No, it's probably from like one of those like cock looking like
tall thin glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, super tall thin glass. Yeah. All right. Like a dick.
Here's the thing. You can make the same joke about like a Cummins.
Oh,
like,
totally. Yeah.
I don't know what it would be.
Cummins would basically just be kind of a Scooby Snack.
It would just be milk.
Yeah. It'd be like a white Russian.
Yeah.
White Russian in a glass with like the darkest cloud of liquor you could put on top to represent some coal.
Yeah.
Big old glass of cum with some fucking coal on top.
Yeah.
Called a cum and coal.
Cum coal.
I'll get cum coal, please.
Yeah.
That's fucking
awkward. We follow it up with a Power Stroke.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Awkward drinks.
Yes.
Just remember, you were weird for watching Barbie.
Yeah. No, I'm the weird one.
The funniest part of that whole thing was that you talked to me about it after the podcast.
It wasn't brought up during.
Yeah, I know, but you made fun of me for watching Little Mermaid, and then you're like over there after we're done. Hey, you see Barbie?
Yeah, fine. All right, now both of you guys got to go watch both of those movies and then report back which one's more watchable, and I guarantee I will know the answer.
I will never watch the Barbie movie.
I would like to see both.
I will never watch.
My wife and I's time to actually watch movies right now is like slim to none. We both have to be like jonesing to see a movie and then make it work. Otherwise, it's like an episode of some show here and there.
I will never watch it.
I know you won't watch it, and it's
listen.
Sad
I already said. I already said I watched the Little Mermaid movie for the crap.
Yeah.
For the crap. Down in the sea.
It's sad that you won't watch it because there's parts of it that I think you would find really funny.
I might, but you know, here's the deal. I just can't like.
He's already watched, and he's just not admitting it.
No, that's probably right. I have not.
You
have
watched it already.
I have not.
Can see it in your eyes.
So. I have not. I have no desire to watch Ryan Gosling with like a shirt with you know open all open and you know like.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
I'm gonna take a guess in the dark here, though. But I forgot the male's name in Little Mermaid. I'm pretty sure his pirate shirt is like full deep V open blouse.
What are you talking about? The pirate? There's no pirate.
Not the pirate, but Barbie. Ariel's the man.
Oh, him? He's a pussy.
I know, but his shirt's halfway open, just like Ryan Gosling.
Well, I mean, okay.
And you watched it.
This is taking place back in a time where there was pirates and shit. Like that's like regular attire. That's like you and me right now. Like if we were back in that time, we would both have like. A deep V shirt with lace coming out of our sleeves.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Point taken.
Yeah. And but, earrings and like fucking. Well, yarr. you'd have long hair.
It sounds like you fucked. Have all that stuff at home. You're pretty good at describing it.
Well, I do like Pirates of the Caribbean. All right.
It's like that episode of Seinfeld when he's wearing the pirate shirt, the puffy shirt.
It's going to be a big thing, guys.
As far as the Barbie movie goes, I was recently back home. Me and my dad were driving back from the airport.
We lost like 80% of the people listening to this podcast.
No, they're all on the same page. If we're talking about it, they're talking about it. I guarantee it. We were in.
Honey, see these guys listen. They watched it too. I'm up to news on current things. I like other stuff besides trucks and brake clean. Shit.
No, honey, I do like men.
But he mentioned the same thing you did about the primered car on jack stands in the driveway when Ken gets the house.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And my dad's kind of he's a gearhead as well, and he's like, "Yeah, I watched the Barbie movie." He's like, "I know what you're gonna say." I was like, "Oh no, Dad! Like I'd like to see it. I've heard it's really good." He's like, "Yeah, the part is just Ken gets control of the Barbie house." And there's a lot of good jokes in there, but he basically, all of a sudden, there's like a primer project car in the driveway. Yeah. It's fucking perfect. I was like, okay.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Well, we're going to end on that note, and I'm sorry, people, that you had to listen.
I still haven't seen either. I've seen none of these movies you're talking about.
Well,
Everybody Same. Should go watch movies in the theater. That's what I'm going to say. Get out and watch the stuff in the theaters, because, like, especially with Oppenheimer, like, that's something you got to go watch on the big screen. And the new Top Gun, like, that was awesome last year.
I wish I could have gone to see it, yeah.
They'll do, like, God, it stayed in
theaters. I want to see Gran Turismo. None of you, nobody's seen Gran Turismo.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
I want to see that.
And that's another big screen movie. Like, it's everybody's like, well, you just stay home and watch it on the streaming service in a month. No, just go see it. It's like a cool thing to go watch movies in the
That's
theaters.
What my wife and I ended up watching it at home.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, we got a 6-year-old and a year, almost yeah. 2-year-old. Like, it's just but for it, us to get out and go do that ain't going to happen.
But even yeah. once a year should make yeah. it happen. Like, that's...
I get that, but it's sometimes it's like, I have like a almost a 70-inch TV and a surround sound system.
Yeah, but like... It's cool because, like, at the Northtown Mall, they've got the big reclining chairs yeah, and everything. Cool. And it's like people are spaced out. Like, you're never like,
have you seen my couch? My couch is pretty nice.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. There's something yeah. about no, the experience of like getting back to like how
they need to make all those
stuff in the 70s and 80s yeah. where it's like, oh, you went out and did stuff. It's like, it's kind of nice to get out. It's like, yeah, popcorn's $10, whatever.
I like the movie theaters where you can like order food and like get a beer.
There's one of those out in Airway Heights.
Yeah, it's a Quest.
Yeah, I need to go to that one.
The last time we went there, we went and saw Anchorman 2.
Oh, yeah.
And we walked out.
Because it was terrible. Yeah.
It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I bought it on DVD when it came out and loaned it to somebody, and they lost it, and I wasn't sad.
Yeah. It was bad. It was bad. But that was the last time I went to one of those movie theaters, and I was like, okay, I'll just rent it at home. It seems cheaper that way.
Well, yeah, you went to one where it's like, yeah, you're going to a movie theater where they're also giving you dinner. That's expensive.
Yeah, right. And you spend like $60 and you're like, wow, this movie sucks. Let's leave.
I'm the cheapest man alive. I go on Tuesdays at the Regal because Tuesdays are half price. And it's half price popcorn and half price ticket. So you can get a full thing, a large popcorn and a movie for cheaper than a regular ticket on other days of the week. Deal. And you can watch like the new movies if there's, you know, brand new release that came out, you can go watch it, and it's like $12 for the night.
That's not bad.
Like a rental on Netflix or something is
$20 usually. Yeah, it's so. Like $19.99 or something for a new movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. Let's wrap her up.
Yeah, we don't rent that shit. We watch it comes out free.
There's been so many movies that have come out that was like $20, and then like a week later, it's free. Like, it's like, God damn it.
Our limit, not our limit, but like, unless it's something we both agree we wanted to see, like ASAP.
Yeah.
Otherwise, our thing's $10. If we have the time and we both can agree on a movie right now that we want to see, and we actually truly have the time, it's like, oh, no, we're not gonna pay for a movie that we're going to have to watch in 20-minute sections.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, we've blocked off time. We're going to watch this movie. And our limit's like, yeah, it's like $10. Other than that, it's like, yeah, we'll just wait for it to come out, or we won't. Or maybe someday when our kids are older, we'll just start racking up. You know, I like to think of it because, like, I remember my dad we watched a whole bunch of movies that way. And I feel like that was his way of doing it. Like, yeah. I missed a whole bunch of movies going to the theater with that. And now that your kids are old enough to where I can start watching these movies, he just went back through, watched a fuck ton of movies, and I got to watch all of them with him, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
The one that I haven't seen yet, and I'm pissed that I haven't seen it, and you guys are going to make fun of me for not seeing it yet, but I really want to see it soon. That Ford versus Ferrari. I still haven't seen it.
Dude,
really
that is good. A great movie.
I know it is. I've seen so many, like 3 or 4 minute sections of it.
Great casting. It's a good movie.
You have to suspend disbelief a little bit with it, in the fact that they made some creative, just slight changes to like give it a little extra drama and push the story along a little bit
as needed,
for a blockbuster movie. But there is a great documentary called The 24-Hour War. That's like the true, just documentary style film about it. And if you watch those both, it's like you can see, oh, okay, they had to change this a little bit and whatever. But one of the coolest things about that movie is all the cars, like the GT40s, are Superformance GT40 replicas. Mm-hmm. But Superformance builds them to exact specs of what they used to be. And those cars all, I mean, it's like, it was like they were really using, you know, vintage cars almost. Like, they had Corvettes and everything else. And, you know, but it's like all, pretty much all the cars were replicas from what I understand. But it's like, it was really cool that they had some like legit, you know.
It's honestly probably one of my favorite movies that have come out in the last like few years.
Yeah, Christian Bale. Bale kills it.
It's, oh yeah, he's it's awesome. His
best movie since Batman.
I love it when he first goes into that. Where he's like getting hired to like race, and there's like that they're showing off the Mustang.
Yeah,
and he's like just talking shit.
Oh, yeah.
On the Mustang, like
I love when he's they're put the plug in the trunk to test if it can the trunk space of the Cobra.
Yeah.
At the race when they're teching the car, and it's like no, it's got to be you know whatever this amount of cubic feet, and he's like that's who cares. You know, yeah, and they're like not going to pass the car for tech, and they see him over there, and he's got the trunk lit up, and he's beating the shit out of it with a wrench to make to dome the trunk up so that this like suitcase will fit in there, because vintage road racing, it had to be a road legal car. It had to have a spare tire in it. It had to have a certain amount of space for stuff. It's like they were trying to say, it's like, this is an actual car that you can go buy, and we're just racing them. I mean, shit, my uncle's got a 67... 69 Z28 Camaro that was road raced right off the showroom floor in 69. And there's pictures of it racing at Laguna Seca, like going down the corkscrew. Fuck, it still has a radio antenna on the fender. Like they were showroom stock. Like, I mean, of course they had cages and everything else, but it's like, they really had to like be like a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's funny how race cars live lives. Like you look at it now and it's like crazy wide body IMSA, like fender flares on it. Cause it just got raced and raced and raced up into the 80s. But it's like cool to look back at the pictures of like 1969 Boss 302s and Z28 Camaros and Challengers. And it's like, oh man, those were just cars. And like the dude that bought this car, it was a privateer guy. He was just like a gentleman racer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, it was a kind of champagne-y gold car factory. It was just racing with that paint and like numbers on it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it like really won a lot or anything, but it's like there's pictures of it and it's like, oh, there's like the Sunoco Camaro and like all these other famous cars and, you know, Mark Donahue cars and like everything else racing around it. And you're like, holy shit. That's rad.
That's this.
That's this.
Well, I think it's going to wrap this one up. We pretty much touched on fucking everything this episode, which is one of my favorites. Jesse, I appreciate you being on for the last two episodes, and I'm looking forward to your next project, whatever it may be. I hope it's the Power Stroke. I want to do Power Stroke things with you.
Yeah,
I really do. Can I have a Power Stroke for him, please?
Yeah.
Yes, please. Okay. Well, between my two Power Strokes and your one, we'll make like 350 horsepower. It'd be great.
Yeah, I know. It'll be awesome. Yeah.
Anyways, everybody, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to America's Diesel Podcast.